Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Alan was a young man that I went to high school with, one of the most talented athletes that I ever knew. As a sophomore in high school, he established himself as the best running back to play for the Eisenhower Eagles, and really one of the best running backs in Oklahoma. His future looked bright. However, Allen was a very undisciplined young man. He did not like to do things that could have easily gotten him a college scholarship. He was intelligent, he was bright, but he didn't like to study, so he neglected his academic life. He didn't like to train physically and do things that would have made him a great running back, and I think possibly could have played in the NFL. So when faced with some simple choices about how to live his life, Alan chose an easy path that basically led him nowhere. And so the only person that's ever heard of Alan is probably me in this congregation. Joseph was faced with some tough choices about his relationship to Mary, his betrothed wife. He had to make some very hard decisions that not only would affect him, but affect many others, and would have a strong effect on Mary. The choices that had to be made within a very short period of time. He must decide soon. He couldn't put off these choices. What would he do? What would he do? What? Do you do when faced with difficult choices in life, or any choice in life? What do? When you're faced with potential decisions that will affect your life, the lives of your family, the lives of others, for a long time, maybe even forever, what do you do? Life is filled with times we have to choose what to do next. We come to circumstances in life, and we have to decide one way or the other. We learn from Joseph a truth that will enable us to make good decisions as we come to those points in our life where we have to make decisions. And I think one of the truths that we learn from Joseph is simply this. Determine as best you can to do what God would have you do and what is right in every circumstance. A lot of times we look at the choices we have to make in life, and we think about how it will affect us in the future, or we'll think about how it will affect others in the future. And we have all these criteria where we try to make decisions. But the truth is, the thing that we need to decide in life to do, we always need to determine to do whatever is right, whatever is God's will, no matter what other effects happen. See, if we believe that God ultimately wants what's best for us, then if we do what He wants us to do, if we do what's right, it's ultimately going to be the best thing for us. Isn't that right? I want us to look at Joseph and how he made the decision to stay with Mary and learn from him as believers how to make important decisions. First of all, we're to seek to do God's will and what's right in every circumstance. Now, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Betrothal was not quite normal married life, but because the couple didn't live together as husband and wife. But it was more than just an engagement. You couldn't just call up your bride-to-be and say, "I don't want to marry you anymore. Give me back the ring." It was a legal thing. If you were betrothed, the only way to end that betrothal was a legal divorce. That's how you ended a betrothal. You were considered man and wife even though you did not live together as man and wife. Well, before Joseph and Mary lived together, before they had been intimate, Mary was found to be pregnant. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew clearly tells us that this was a unique and a supernatural conception. The Holy Spirit enabled Mary to do what no other woman would have done before and what would never happen again. Mary conceived as a virgin, and she was pregnant. Now, we don't know how Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It may have been simply by observation. Those kind of things tend to come out, right? He did discover it, and he knew it to be a fact. He knew the child was not his. And the scripture says he was a righteous man. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do what God would have him to do. And so he made a decision about his relationship to Mary. Knowing the child was not his, but not wanting to publicly disgrace Mary and all that would have involved in that day, he determined to divorce her quietly and to end the relationship. Now think about this from Joseph's perspective. The woman that he probably thought would be a wonderful wife was now pregnant, and he knew the baby was not his. What could he conclude? He can only conclude that he probably shouldn't marry Mary. She was probably not the kind of wife, as circumstances told him, that he thought she was. And so the only thing that he could do was end the relationship. You see, he was a righteous man, a just man, the scripture says. Now, what does that mean? He was a man who wanted to build his life and serve the Lord and bring glory to his name. He wanted his life to count for the Lord. And so, how could he marry a woman who was pregnant with someone else's child? And so, as best he could, he determined, I've got to end this relationship. Now that brings us to a question. Why should two people get married in the first place? Most people today would say, you should get married if you are in love. Now I think love's a part of it, but I don't think that's the total answer. You see, you can be in love with someone that you shouldn't marry. You realize that? Many of us maybe can testify to this truth. You can be in love with someone that you should not marry. As a believer, you should marry someone you love, but someone who also shares your goal of living your life for the glory of God. You can love someone, and they might not love God. They might not desire to live their life for the glory of God, and they might not desire to help you live your life for the glory of God. That's why, young people, you ought to be careful who you're interested in and who you date, because you never know who you're going to fall in love with. And if you fall in love with somebody that doesn't want to live for the glory of God and you do, you are going to have to make a very difficult decision. You should date only those who desire to live for the glory of God. Now, I'm talking to some young men and women and some older men and women. They're single. And it's tough out there, and you get lonely, and you know, you think, is God ever going to bring somebody in my life, you know, for me? And I'm telling you, if it's God's will for you to marry someone, he will bring to you the right person in the right time, but don't get ahead of him. Don't get ahead of him. If you're a believer, date only those who desire to live for the glory of God. Because you're not going to change them. Now, you as a young person might have an ideal that you can change the person you marry. Let's just talk to a few of us married couples, see how well that worked out. Joseph knowing the facts that he was faithful, was decided that Mary would not help him live for the glory of God. And as a godly man, as a loving man, he didn't want to put her to public shame, and he thought the best course of action would be to divorce her quietly. He wanted to live for the glory of God. He was trying to do God's will in a very difficult circumstances. He may have been emotionally distraught. He may not have wanted to make this decision emotionally, but he wanted to do what's right. You see, sometimes just because you want to do something doesn't mean you should. Sometimes doing what's right is emotionally difficult. It's very hard. Because he belonged to God, he felt that it was the right thing, the godly thing to do. You know, I have a person close to me that was dating someone who was not very good for him. And she broke up with him. He went to a pastor friend that he knew, and he asked him what he should do. And the pastor friend said, "Do you love her?" And he said he did. Then the pastor gave him some really bad advice. He said, "Don't let her go." Now, I'm telling you, that was really bad advice. The pastor didn't ask the young man if he thought it was God's will for them to marry. The pastor didn't ask him if the woman would help him or had helped him live for the Lord. He didn't ask him if the woman loved the Lord. He didn't ask him if she would be a godly wife or mother. He didn't ask him if she was a person who denied herself and took up her cross and followed Christ. He didn't ask her any of those things. He just asked her the question about if he loved her. You know, I'm looking at the Word of God and I'm saying, where did he come up with that question? Yeah, he should love her, but I'm telling you, you can love someone that you might not that you better not marry. Well, the young man took the pastor's advice. He pursued the woman. He married her, and he had a very miserable marriage that ended when the woman divorced him. It was a tough life that he had because he didn't ask the right questions. He didn't ask, what, God, do you want me to do? What's the right thing I should do? I used to tell my children, if you think it's hard to be single, you just marry the wrong person, you'll find out how hard life can be. You see, doing what is right and what is God's will, sometimes it's initially difficult. It's hard to make hard choices sometimes. You don't want to hurt anyone emotionally. But doing God's will is always, always best in the end. Never forget that. It's always best in the end. The Scripture says God's will is good and pleasing and perfect. Every decision you need to make, every decision we make in life should be a decision where we choose to do what's right, we choose to do what's God's will. There's something else here, though, about making good decisions. And that you need to seek always to be open to further enlightenment and instruction from God. Now, Joseph made a decision, the best one he could with the facts that he had. But he didn't have all the facts, did he? There were truths that he needed to know in order to make the right decision. Mary had not been unfaithful to him. The child in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But Mary couldn't explain that to Joseph. No human being could explain that to Joseph. And so as Joseph was thinking and considering all these things, the Scripture says God sent an angel to tell Joseph some facts, some truths that he needed to know. The angel called him Son of David, and that was a recognition of his ancestry because, see, the Messiah was going to come through the line of David. He was going to be a descendant of David, as the Advent reading talked about this morning. The angel told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. You see, why would he be afraid? Because he looked at Mary and he said, maybe she's not the person that I thought she was. Maybe her character is not the character of a woman that I need to marry. And the angel said, Joseph, do not fear. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She is the person whom you thought and you think she is. The angel clearly told him that what was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. something that had never happened before and will never happen again. The first century, they knew what it took to cause children, and they knew they weren't more gullible than we are. But this was different. This was a unique, one-of-a-kind birth, conception that would never happen before, never happen again. Jesus was the unique Son of God, fully God because he was born, Mary was his mother, fully man because Mary was his mother, fully God because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the angel told him that Mary would bear a son. Now, the language is precise here. She will bear a son. Notice he didn't say to Joseph, she'll bear you a son. Because it's not Joseph's son. It's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph would be a foster father, but he wouldn't be the father of this son. The father was God himself. Joseph had to be enlightened about these things. He had to be reminded of the prophecies of God. God had to take him into a deeper understanding of the word that said the virgin will conceive and bear a son. He needed further information, further enlightenment in order to make the right choice. Sometimes we don't have all the facts because maybe we're immature in our understanding of God's word or we just don't know the whole situation. So as we seek to make the best decision we can based on God's truth, we always have to be willing for God to teach us something we might not know. Have you ever thought about something and you thought you had it figured out, but then as you read God's word, as you talked to wise Christians, you realize there were some things about the situation you hadn't considered? You see, we have to be open to further enlightenment. See, doing the will of God requires determination, but also requires humility that says, maybe I didn't know what I thought I knew. So you seek always to be open to further enlightenment and instruction from God. But beyond that, beyond just the understanding of the facts, I think there's something else that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. Seek to understand God's purposes in your circumstance. Now, Joseph was not only told the facts about Mary and the child she would bear, but he was also given insight and understanding of God's purpose behind it. Joseph was told what Mary was told in Luke 1. The name of the baby would be Jesus. In fact, Joseph, as the apparent father, would have the right to name the baby. And so Joseph was told by the angel, he was called the name of the baby, Jesus. Now, Jesus was not, it's not like Jesus was an uncommon name. It's the Hebrew Joshua basic or Yeshua. Hoshea is kind of a variant of the name in the Old Testament. And it means, Joshua means the Lord God saves. The Lord God saves. And Joseph was told, name the baby Jesus, because that describes what he's going to do. The Lord God would save. Joseph was told that Jesus would save his people from their sin. It's very interesting. The language is emphatic. Jesus, he himself will save his people from their sins, is the emphasis here. You could say, he and he alone will save his people from their sins. Jesus comes to save people from sin. He comes to save you and me from our sin. Now, oftentimes we act, you know, sometimes you get the impression that Jesus comes to save people from hell and for heaven. Really, that's not the purpose. The purpose, Jesus came to deliver us, to rescue us, to save us from our sin. He didn't come to save us in our sin. He really didn't come to save us from hell, which is the end result of sin. He comes to save us from our sin, to deliver us from sin. That's why there's a problem when people say they're a follower of Jesus, but they don't seem to want to avoid sin. That's a problem. Jesus comes to deliver us, to rescue us from sin. And the scripture, I think the scripture also teaches he comes to save us not only from sin, but for himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again." So the angel is explaining to Joseph that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, that the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you're going to call this son Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. God's purpose through the virgin birth, through the birth of Jesus, was to save us from our sin. His purpose was to fulfill his word, because whatever God says is going to happen is going to happen. You can bank on it. God's word is going to be fulfilled. His purpose was going to be fulfilled, and his purpose also was to be with his people, near his people. You see, God sent Jesus to save us from our sins so that he could be near us. Because of our sin, if our sins are not forgiven, God can't be near us. But because our sins in Jesus, because we are covered with his righteousness and he paid the penalty, he took our sin upon himself and suffered the wrath of God that we deserve for our sin, God can be near us because our sins have been paid for. Do you realize God is a God who wants to be near you? You ever thought about that? The eternal, almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God of the universe, he wants to be near you and me. I'm amazed at that. Why would he want to be near Bob Ray? I don't know, but I know he does. I know he does. The scripture says, you know, that you read the Psalms, and some of them talk about the nearness of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help and ever-present help in time of trouble. You see, Jesus was born a baby to save us from our sins. This shows us God wants to be near his people. You know, I believe God is great and all-powerful, all-knowing, and we don't need to call God our homeboy or anything like that. But there's also the truth that he is a God who wants to be near. Near. Aren't you glad we serve a God who wants to be near us? The all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere-present God of the universe longs to be near you. In fact, the scripture says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. It's mind-boggling. God can be near to you and to me and to every person who will believe in Jesus because of what Jesus has done for us. And so Joseph not only was told the facts about Mary, but he was given an insight in why Jesus was coming and what he was going to do. You see, I think God wants us not only to understand, you know, when you have a child, you tell him what to do, right? When my child's 3, 4, 5, basically I don't give a lot of big explanations. You do it because Dad said so. But by the time they're 13, 14, and 15, you better be willing to explain some things to them. Now, maybe some things they should still do what you tell them to do because you said so, but you better start explaining some reasons. You know, just because Dad said something, they want to know, does Dad have good reasons? I hope I do. Maybe they don't always understand. My teenage daughter was the lawyer in the family, right? She was always taking me to the limit. And I would explain, and I'd do it best I could. Sometimes I just said, you just got to do it because I said. Because she was a pretty smart girl, and sometimes I didn't have all the answers for her. But the truth is, I needed to explain. I wanted her to understand a little bit of Dad's reasoning and why I was doing what I was doing. Why her mom and I were asking him to do certain things. And you know, God's the same. We can't comprehend all his plans and purposes because he's God and we're not. There are going to be some things we won't understand. We just have to say, yes, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do. But there are going to be other things that God's going to give you insight in why he's doing this in your life, why he's taking you through what he's taking you through. You know, there are a lot of times in life when we go through terrible things and we have no understanding of why it's happening, and then later we look back and we can see God's hand in it. You see, God not only wants us to know what he's doing, but he wants us to understand as best we can his purposes in many of the circumstances in our life. And so we in our making choices, we can understand some of the purposes of God in those making those choices. But there's one final thing we need to see in this passage of Scripture. Seek to obey God immediately when you know what He wants you to do. Now, when Joseph truly understood what God wanted him to do, when he woke up from the angel communicating to him God's ways and God's purposes, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He took her. He took Mary into his home. He didn't have intimate relations with her until Jesus was born. He named the baby Jesus. When he understood God's will and God's ways for him, he didn't think about it any longer. He obeyed. You see, when you know what God wants you to do, you do it. You do it as quickly as you can. Obey Him and do what He wants you to do as quickly as you can when you determine what His will is. Sometimes there is a period of time you're not sure what He wants you to do. But when you know, when you believe you know what He wants you to do, that's the time to do it. You see, the time to obey God is now. It's not tomorrow. If God is saying you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, don't do that tomorrow. Do it today. Put your trust in Jesus. If God is telling you to do something and there's not you don't really have any doubts, you know that you what He wants you to do, you just do it. You see, there is a sense that waiting is disobedience. When you know what He wants you to do and you're still waiting to do that. Now, you might know what He wants you to do, and you might not know exactly how He wants you to do it, and so you're still... But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you know what He wants you to do. There's no question in your mind, as best you know, as best a human being can know, and you just do it. When clarity comes and you know what you should do, do what He wants you to do as quickly as you can. You see, we all have to make choices in life. If you seek God and you want to do His will, you can make good choices. You can. You know, I wish in my life I'd always done what God wanted me to do and always made those choices. I confess to you, I haven't always done that. I'm glad God's a forgiving and a loving God, but I want to, in my life now, I want to do what He wants me to do, what is right. It's not always easy to do what's right. You know, do you think it was easy for Joseph? Okay, Joseph takes Mary in his home. What's everybody going to say? Well, they were fooling around a little bit, you know, before they should have been. And that probably followed Joseph and Mary. And there's some evidence in the New Testament. They even accused Jesus of being illegitimate. It's not always easy to do what God wants you to do. People won't always understand. But it's always best. It's always best. Determine as best you can to do what's right, to do what is God's will in every circumstance. No other consideration matters, really. It doesn't really matter how it's going to affect your wife or your children. I mean, I think it's going to affect them in good ways, ultimately. But I remember when I had to make a decision to follow Christ in baptism. It was a difficult decision because my mom was a Roman Catholic and she thought I was already baptized. It wasn't easy for me to make that decision. It wasn't easy for her to accept that decision. But it was something that I knew I had to do. Sometimes we don't make decisions if it's going to bother anybody. We don't make decisions if it's going to be emotionally difficult. I'm telling you, we need to do what's right, to do God's will, and we need to trust everything else to Him. You see, I believe God's will is ultimately always best. In fact, the Scripture says that, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. It's always best in the end. You see, we got a lot of people around, we're living, and we're acting like we can make better choices than God. God says, don't do this or do this, and we say, well, you know, I think I figured this out better than you, Lord. Oh, yeah? Just keep making those choices and you're going to have a lot of regrets in your life, I promise you. Choose to do what's right, to do God's will, to follow Him, because that is always, ultimately, best. Father, we love You, and we thank You for the examples we see in Scripture of people who chose to follow You and do Your will, even when it was difficult, even when others would not understand. Father, give us that same determination in our lives. Father, if there's someone You're speaking to that's never trusted Christ and they need to trust Him today, I pray that they would invite You into their lives to save them and be their master and their Lord. They would believe in what You did for them on the cross, because the only way we can be saved, Jesus, is You have to save us. You save us by what You did for us when You suffered the penalty for our sins. You save us and give us Your life because You rose from the grave. Father, I pray that they would put their trust in You if You're speaking to them today. I pray that anyone here, Lord, they've been seeking You, and Lord, they're not sure exactly what they should do, what You want. I pray that You'd give them clarity. You would open the eyes of their heart that they may be enlightened to know Your perfect will. And I pray for others, Lord, who might know Your will, and they know it might be difficult, and there's a reluctance in their hearts and minds to do what You've told them to do, what You've told us to do. Lord, give us the grace to obey You every time, no matter what. It is in Jesus' name that I pray.